We'll be looking today at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 5, and reading and studying through verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's begin in verse 5. And as we look at the book of 2 Corinthians, we're reminded again in this passage of something that we have noticed many times. And that is, in this book of 2 Corinthians, Paul is defending himself. Paul was criticized, and Paul is defending himself personally in this book. When you look at the life of Jesus and the life of Paul, they had that in common. Jesus was criticized, and so was Paul. And it's interesting to see how they dealt with criticism. And in general, we find that sometimes Jesus ignored criticism, and sometimes he responded to criticism. And the same was true in the life of Paul. Sometimes Paul ignored his critics, and sometimes he felt that it was necessary or good to respond to the criticism. And it would be very interesting and helpful for all of us to sit down and look at all of those criticisms and how both Jesus and Paul dealt with those criticisms and compile what we see and what we learn in all those passages so that we'll be able to be wiser when it comes to dealing with criticism ourselves. But for today, in this lesson, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 5 through 11, because Paul here is defending himself, and he's especially defending his apostleship. You see, there were some that claimed to be apostles that were not. We read about that in verse 13 of this chapter. Paul said that they were false apostles. So you had some men in the first century in Paul's time that said that they were apostles and they were not. Paul, on the other hand, was an apostle. But some at the church at Corinth were questioning Paul. Later in this book of 2 Corinthians, you find in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 3, that Paul says, "You seek a proof of Christ speaking in me." Why would they do that? That seems ridiculous, and it was absurd that these people would be questioning Paul and demanding proof that Jesus was speaking in Paul, because Paul had been with them for a year and a half. And Paul even told them in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, that the signs of an apostle were worked among you. So these Corinthians had heard Paul preach. They had received his teaching. They were able to work miracles themselves to some extent. And they saw all the miracles that Paul worked in their presence, and still you had some of those people questioning Paul. Well, what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 5, was directly pointed to those people. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 5, Paul said, "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles." Paul says, "I'm an apostle just like all the other apostles were. I'm an apostle just the same as Peter or John or any of the others that the Lord chose." The New King James Version says that he was not inferior to the most eminent apostles. Perhaps that's a reference to apostles like Peter and John, and especially because Paul referred to Peter as a pillar in Galatians 2, verse 9. That was not a derogatory description of Peter. He was not putting Peter down, but he was talking about the image that people had of Peter and some of the other apostles in the first century church. So the problem in the first century then that Paul is referring to here was that there were men that were not apostles, that were claiming to be, and some of these Corinthians were leaning toward them or giving in to them, and at the same time they were questioning whether Paul was an apostle. And Paul says, "I wasn't behind any of those apostles." And this would also mean that Paul had the powers that those other apostles did. He had the same powers. He was just as inspired as Peter or anybody else. And he refers again to something that some of these critics had said about him. In verse 6, he said, "But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge." Now, the word rude here doesn't mean crude. It doesn't mean unkind. The word rude means unskilled. And Paul admitted that he was not an eloquent speaker. He said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Some of his critics had said that about him. Paul said, look, even though I may not be the most polished speaker that you've heard, at the same time, I'm not unskilled when it comes to knowledge. I do know what I'm talking about because he was guided, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now remember that this is all in contrast to some of those preachers that the Corinthians were either giving into or were in danger of accepting. Because he said in verse 4 that if he that comes after preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Paul says a man can come in teaching a different doctrine and you'll tolerate him, you'll accept him, and at the same time you're criticizing me. So Paul is putting forth a situation to these people here which should have caused them to ask these questions. Number one, which was most important? Paul's style or his manner of speaking, or the message that he preached? Well, obviously, what he said in his preaching was a lot more important than how he said it. And number two, which was more serious? Paul preaching the truth in an unpolished way, or these eloquent preachers teaching a false gospel? And this is the contrast that these Corinthians should have been able to see. In the last part of verse 6, Paul says, "But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things." Paul is saying that we've been open. We've not tried to hide anything. You have seen our lives. You have seen our behavior. You've seen what kind of men we are and that we were. And one thing that they did know is what Paul begins to talk about in verses 7 through 11. And that is that Paul preached to them, and he didn't take any pay from these Corinthians when he did that. Let's notice beginning in verse 7. Paul said, "Have I committed an offense in abasing, that is, in humbling myself, that you might be exalted? That is, I came into Corinth. I didn't take any pay for the preaching that I did there, and I did that so that you would be benefited." And he said, "Did I commit an offense in doing that? Did I offend you? Did I do wrong in doing that because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely?" When Paul came to Corinth, he made tents. We read about that in Acts 18, verses 1 through 4. So Paul supported himself to an extent when he was at Corinth. But he also received some support from other churches while he was preaching in Corinth. We read about that in the next verse. Verse 8, "I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service." Now, of course, when Paul says in verse 8, "I robbed other churches," he doesn't literally mean that he stole from them. That's a figure of speech. He's talking about the fact that he had the right, if he had wanted to, Paul had the right to be paid by the church at Corinth. He already told them that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. That's a lengthy explanation of the fact that a preacher has the right to be paid for the work that he's doing. But Paul said that he didn't do that. He received this support from these outside churches. Now, why didn't Paul accept pay from them if he had the right to be paid by that church? Why did Paul preach and work with the church at Corinth and not be paid by them if he had the full right to do that? Well, his answer is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. He said, "We have not used this power," that is, this right, "but we suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ." So Paul was afraid that it might hinder the gospel. He was afraid, for instance, that people might falsely accuse him. He thought that people might misrepresent him. He thought that people might say that he was doing it just for the money, because there were preachers in that day that were preaching just for the money. And so there are several possibilities there, but Paul says that the reason that he didn't do it was for the good of the church there. Paul did not receive pay from the church at Corinth when he was working for them and with them because, he said, "I didn't want to hinder the gospel of Christ." Now, when Paul was in Thessalonica, he also did not receive pay from the church at Thessalonica for the preaching that he did there. But the reason that he did not receive pay from those people was different from the reason that he gave for not taking pay from the Corinthian brethren. The reason that Paul did not receive pay for the preaching that he did in Thessalonica was because, as he said in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 through 12, is that he wanted to set an example before those brethren. He worked with his own hands in front of those people to give them an example of how that they needed to work for a living, because there was a problem there. And that's the same book where Paul said, if anybody in the church will not work and provide for his family, you need to withdraw fellowship from those people. And that's the same book and the same section where Paul said, if a man would not work, neither should he eat. It was that serious a matter. And Paul said, in order to make this point even clearer, I'm going to show them that I'm willing to work physically and with my hands in order to support myself, even though I have the full right to be paid. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is saying the same thing that he explained to them earlier in the first epistle, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So he says that he took this money, he received this support from other churches, and he took those wages to do service for these Corinthians. And he explains even more in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 11, when he says, "And when I was present with you and wanted." And the word "wanted" there means that he was in need. So Paul was there at Corinth. He needed support. He needed money to get by. But he says, "I was chargeable to no man." That is, he didn't depend on, he didn't look to these Corinthian brethren to support him. Again, he had the right to do that, but because of the situation, he chose not to. And he says, "That which was lacking, what I needed," in other words, "for me or to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. These other churches gave me what I needed. And in all things, I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself." So Paul had reasons for what he was doing, and he says in verse 10, "As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia." And when he talks about boasting, he's not talking about prideful bragging. He's talking about a rightful defense of himself against the criticisms of some of these people, including these people at Corinth and in the region of Achaia. And then Paul asked these people a very pointed question in verse 11, "Wherefore?" In other words, why did I do this? Why am I doing this? Is it because I don't love you? Is it because I love you not? His answer, God knows. God knew whether Paul loved these people, and they should have known as well. There is one point that I want to make about this passage before we end. And that is, 2 Corinthians 11 verse 8 is not the only Bible way that a preacher can be supported. There are some people that say that a church, a congregation, cannot pay its own preacher, that he has to get his pay from other churches. And they try to take verse 8 and make that some kind of exclusive pattern. Verse 8 says, "I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service." Well, Paul does admit that he was supported by other churches when he worked at Corinth. But he says plainly in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that he didn't have to do that. He could have been paid by the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 9 says that he had every right to do that. And besides that, if 2 Corinthians 11 verse 8 is some kind of exclusive pattern, then what about Acts 18 verses 1 through 4? Paul made tents. Is that a pattern that every preacher has to follow? So this is another matter. This is another question where we have to consider all that the Bible says on the subject in order to be consistent with Bible teaching.